having sent you.
94.
For the latest coronavirus news, open the WPG Talk Radio app now. Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to Hurley in the Morning. We appreciate you very much. And this topic is extremely important. A lot of people deal with this, and you're going to learn about it. You may be. We hear many times on DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents that when you hear from great experts like Dr. Daniel Ice, who will be presenting for the remainder of today's program, you say, wow, I mean, I'm dealing with some of these things I just didn't realize. I thought maybe I'm just getting a little bit older, or just this is just the way things go over time. And in many cases, that's absolutely not the case. Let me do an important introduction, because I said this about Daniel probably three times this morning, and actually mentioned it to him while we had the couple of minute break away. The man has six board certifications, which I've been doing doctor interviews with the DeBora Heart and Lung Center and others for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like it. I've seen three, I've seen four, I think one time I saw five. Sometimes you see one, sometimes you see two. Six board certifications, I'll get to that. Dr. Ice's residency, internal medicine, Indiana University School of Medicine, Indianapolis, Indiana. Specialty training, interventional cardiology and cardiology, Lanikau Medical Center, Wynwood, Pennsylvania. Board certified, internal medicine, nuclear cardiology, echocardiography, cardiovascular disease, interventional cardiology, endovascular medicine, six different disciplines. A lot of important special interests as well, complex coronary intervention, peripheral vascular intervention, venous disease, structural heart disease, CTO, revascularization. Joining us now is the distinguished doctor, Dr. Daniel Ice, on DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Ice, welcome to our program, sir.
Thank you, Harry. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Real pleasure, and I know how much you're going to help people today. That's what DeBora Heart and Lung Center does. What is peripheral arterial disease? And that's our topic, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 24 minutes that we have. What is PAD?
Sure. Well, PAD is essentially the narrowing of the arteries supplying blood flow to the legs, to the arms, to the head, due to atherosclerosis, which is a term that essentially means the buildup of cholesterol deposits within the walls of the arteries. And these deposits, called plaques, cause these arteries to become narrowed or blocked. And this prevents blood from flowing normally down the legs.
Dr. Ice, who is at risk? I know folks listening right now want to know, hey, am I at risk? Who's at risk for PAD?
Sure. The risk factors for PAD mirror those same risk factors for cerebrovascular disease or coronary artery disease, namely individuals with a positive family history, individuals that may have diabetes mellitus, smoking history, chronic kidney disease, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. And I would say that smoking and diabetes mellitus are particularly problematic and pose individuals at slightly higher risk.
Dr. Ice, are there typical symptoms for PAD?
Well, there can be. The most common classic symptoms would be muscle cramping in the hips, buttocks, thighs, or calves, particularly when someone is walking or climbing stairs or inclines or even exercising. And this cramping usually goes away when the activity stops. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a cramp. The symptoms can also be just noticeable leg fatigue or leg heaviness when a person is walking or with activity. Some of the less common symptoms may include foot or toe sores or wounds that don't heal or that seem to be healing very slowly.
A reminder to schedule an appointment with Dr. Ice or any of the other wonderful specialists at DeBora Heart and Lung Center in the myriad of amazing things that they do relative to heart, sleep diagnostic, you could go on and on, diet, all kinds of things. And today, of course, we're talking about, with an interventional cardiologist, the peripheral arterial disease. To schedule an appointment, both ways work very, very well. DemandDeBora.org, very simple from any digital device, or you can call 800-555-1990, 800-555-1990, and you'll be prompted to scheduling. Dr. Ice, what diagnostic studies can be done to confirm that someone has PAD?
Well, there are several studies available. The first screening test that's usually ordered and commonly done is something called an ABI test, which is a painless, simple test that compares the blood pressure in a person's ankle to the blood pressure up in their arms. And then based on those findings, you know, other studies may be necessary to help diagnose or even show the extent of PAD. These would include combining that ABI test with a treadmill test. Other studies would include just an ultrasound of the legs, possibly a CT scan or an MRI scan of the leg arteries, and potentially even more invasive testing with angiography, which is looking at pictures of the arteries themselves.
You're listening to Dr. Daniel Ice, and we're talking this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents about peripheral arterial disease. If you have a question on the topic, you can join us in a little bit at 609-407-1450. We have a lot of content between now and the top of the hour, but if you would like to pose your question, maybe you are dealing with what you think is exactly what Dr. Ice is talking about, don't be shy. Check in. That's another great part of the program. You get sort of an on-air consult of sorts, and if needed to be referred, we would do so. 800-555-1990 to schedule, or demanddeborah.org. How big of a problem is this epidemic? Is it a big number, but maybe epidemic is an exaggeration? How big of a problem nationally is PAD?
Well, I wouldn't use the term epidemic when we're talking about PAD. I do think it often goes undiagnosed. I would say roughly 200 million people worldwide have PAD.
Wow.
When we're talking about just the U.S. alone, it affects probably about 8.5 million Americans over the age of 40. So roughly about 6% of Americans over the age of 40 may have PAD. As I said before, oftentimes they may not always have symptoms, and so it goes undiagnosed.
So out of 330 million Americans, more than 8 million. So it's not a low number. It's not astronomically high number, but it's quite a few.
Absolutely. And I think as more awareness grows for PAD and patients start to learn what the symptoms are, then I think diagnosis starts to go up.
How important is early detection? It almost seems like that's such a silly question or stupid question, obvious question, because obviously the earlier you find out something about anything, heart or anything, the better. But is early detection really big in terms of the desired result that you're looking to achieve?
Certainly. Early detection, as you said, is important for almost any disease that we're talking about. Here, early detection allows us to possibly modify lifestyle choices, help control other contributing problems such as diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, to try to see if we can slow down the process. As I said before, some patients may not have any symptoms. For those patients, they may go many years without really having any long-term problems. But certainly, if they do have symptoms and it's not treated, one might start experiencing worsening leg symptoms and perhaps experience a functional decline. Patients may start noticing limitations in how far they can walk, and eventually they may even learn not to walk much in their daily life. Certainly, as the PAD worsens, a patient may start to experiencing leg pain even at rest or develop foot or toe ulcers. And once that stage is reached, approximately 25% of patients may eventually require a limb amputation once they get to that point. So it's really important to get the symptoms checked out early before they really progress and go down that that decline.
Can early detection and then avoiding the ramifications of leaving PAD untreated, can that result in it being manageable for the rest of your life? Probably a little awkward the way I put that, but I think you know what I meant.
Absolutely. For a lot of patients, it can be. Making some changes in lifestyle, controlling some of those problems that we said before, increasing their exercise, or potentially if a blockage is severe enough, sometimes it does need to be intervened on either through surgical means or through endovascular means with balloons and stents. And so oftentimes we can restore a patient back to their full function, back to their lifestyle, doing all the things that they want to do activity-wise.
We're going to take a brief time out. It's the last break we'll take during Dr. Ice's appearance. If you have a question on today's topic, peripheral arterial disease or PAD, 609 609- 407-1450. Phone lines are open. Dr. Daniel Ice is a very, very skillful, talented cardiac interventionalist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. 609-407-1450. If you have a question here to make an appointment to see Dr. Ice and their team, demanddeborah.org, and you can schedule right from any digital device on the website. You'll see a hyperlink right there when you get to demanddeborah.org, or you can call 800-555-1990, and there's a very clear prompt to scheduling an appointment. 800-555-1990. Dr. Ice, and yours truly continue. This is
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, WPGG Atlantic City, WENJ 97.3 HD3 Millville.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. We have 11 minutes left in the program with Deborah. Let's make it count. Dr. Daniel Ice is here. If you have a question relative to peripheral arterial disease, probably better known as PAD, the acronym, give us a call. Give the doctor a call, 609-407-1450. As always, to schedule an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center digitally, or if you prefer to call. People, I talk to people all the time. Some like to call, and they just like that feeling of they spoke with someone. 800-555-1990. I do pledge to you that digitally, I can tell you a family member did it at demanddeborah.org. It works great. So either way, you really will get the same level of service, whether it's inanimate through the website or animate through speaking to one of the great professionals on the other end of the phone at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, 800-555-1990 or demanddeborah.org. We continue. Very important program this morning here. Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Daniel Ice, cardiac interventionalist. As I mentioned earlier, a man with 6 board certifications. He is a serious man. Dr. Ice, this is probably one of the most important questions for people listening, people potentially dealing with this. What are the treatment options for PAD?
Sure. Well, there are a variety of options. These options would include, first of all, an exercise walking training program. And this can either be in a supervised setting or even in an unsupervised setting at home, which has been shown to improve symptoms and walking capacity. Certainly there are medications that may help curb some of the risk factors for PAD, as well as even potentially increase someone's walking capacity as well. As we mentioned before, there are risk factors that may be contributing and playing a role there. So certainly if someone's still smoking, then we would recommend smoking cessation, controlling someone's diabetes, controlling their high blood pressure. And if all those things aren't helping, then fixing the blood flow down the leg by either an endovascular or a surgical means. So at Deborah, we tend to favor an endovascular first approach, meaning using balloons and stents in the legs and trying to avoid surgery if possible.
609-407-1450. If you have a question for the distinguished Dr. Daniel Ice from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, the topic is PAD. You're on the air with Dr. Ice. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Ice and Ed Hurley.
Hey.
Saved my life. I was there in October, Norwood, Willie Norwood. They remember the name Norwood because they had Dr. Richard Norwood, that he invented various devices, medical devices to help.
Well, Willie, they remember the name Norwood at Deborah Heart Lung Center because Deborah Heart Lung Center saved your life. You're one of the examples, even if I don't mention names, of the people that have called this program, that were referred because of this program to Deborah Heart and Lung Center, that I know that I speak the truth because you've used the words on this program, and I spoke to you from your hospital room at Deborah when you had life-saving surgery. Willie, do you have a question, though? Yours was a different discipline at Deborah. Do you have a question relative to PAD for Dr. Ice, because we're quickly running out of time?
Yes, I was there. I went there in October for PAD.
Okay.
And I was there and I was in emergency because it's dealing with respiratory. And one problem was gas and heartburn. And it saved my life because all the things affect your heart. And I just want to say fresh air and oxygen. And I felt better when I got in the fresh air and oxygen. I got free in here now when they got fresh air and oxygen. And I just want to say, Dr. Rice, is I hope they mention that, you know, and that saved my life. I'm witness to that, and I hope people mention on that fresh air and oxygen.
Absolutely. Getting out and getting some certainly works wonders, and it's something we recommend. As when you're outside, though, we also would prefer you to start doing some walking, too, and getting a little bit of exercise. It's really good for your peripheral artery system.
Let me ask you a tricky little question. If what's good for you also bothers you, and I don't know if that is a fair question or not, it seems to me like it might be, because doing the very thing that might help you maybe feels uncomfortable, but you still have to do it, correct?
Correct. In this case, yes. Now, sometimes with other disease processes, we say, hey, if something's bothering you, just stop doing it.
Yes.
In this scenario, sometimes continuing to walk is really the best thing because it builds up additional new little blood vessels down the leg to increase blood flow. And so doing that in a supervised setting is certainly recommended. It can be helpful.
There is no doubt in my mind, as your co-host of Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents, Dr. Daniel Ice, that Deborah is the best place to go. Let me turn it over to you, though, as the expert in this field. Why is Deborah Heart and Lung Center the best place to go for the diagnosis and then the management, the all-important management? One thing to know you have something, but then working the plan and managing it correctly it's got to be so very important. Why is Deborah Heart and Lung Center the best place to go for diagnosis and then the management of PAD?
Well, Deborah has a comprehensive PAD program in place, offering a full spectrum of diagnostic testing available, access to all treatment options, specialty trained doctors with expertise in vascular and endovascular medicine who are board certified with lots of experience. We have state-of-the-art equipment for treating PAD, and we even participate in national research trials studying the newest innovative treatments available that we can make available to patients as well.
Are there any developments in recent years, what we always seem to talk about on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents, so many advancements that can happen, surgeries which have now turned into procedures and all kinds of different advancements. I've been doing your show for so long, I remember what the size of pacemakers used to be, for example. I mean, you used to actually, if you wore a t-shirt, it would be like you had a pack of cigarettes embedded in your chest wall or something. And now, of course, it's what, like the size of a quarter or less than a 50 cent piece. So it's amazing, devices and all of this. Have there been advances in your realm that you believe are notable?
Absolutely. There are several advances, most notably in terms of how we get into arteries. So in terms of going into very small arteries that may decrease the risk for bleeding after the procedure. So sometimes we go in through arteries through the wrist or even down in the foot or near the ankle, as opposed to the larger arteries up by the groin, if we need to go in and do an intervention. And so with that becomes better patient experience, less discomfort during the procedure or after the procedure, and as I said before, less bleeding. And then there's other advancements in terms of technology that we use, different types of balloons, different types of stents that may have better long-term outcomes than what we were, you know, had available 5 or 10 years ago.
We have 3 minutes with Dr. Daniel Ice. Let's get in as much as we can. Give people an idea. I know every person is a different case and all that, but generally speaking, if people come to you and it's early on, so you have, you know, really good notification of something at an earlier stage, how do people generally do with PAD?
I think for most patients, they do fairly well. Hopefully, if we're good at catching it early and patients are good at maintaining on the treatment, we're able to get them back to doing the things that they want to do. Now, with this disease, sometimes it can recur, and that's why it's important to curb some of the risk factors and reduce the risk factors that are contributing to that disease process. But our goal is to work with the patient to know what are their goals and try to get them back doing the activities that they enjoy doing in life, whether it's doing stuff in the house, out in the yard or even playing sports, golf, going to the beach, walking on the beach, those kind of activities that they can do and have memorable experiences.
Dr. Rice, is peripheral arterial disease, PAD, is it curable or only treatable?
It is essentially treatable. The disease process can always come back a little bit, and sometimes you need to have, if you have an intervention, you may need to have another intervention at some point down the road, sometimes several years later. And those interventions are becoming, as I said, less and less invasive. I think with the right disease modification and lifestyle changes, we can sometimes make it treatable, though, where once you have an intervention, you may not need to have another intervention for many years to come.
Oh, it's encouraging. Finally, and take what time you need, a minute or two, because we hear different things from different vocations. Should patients wait until the COVID-19 emergency is over before scheduling an appointment? Or if they're dealing with symptoms, should they make an appointment now?
Well, I think that all depends on the symptoms a person is having. So if they are having symptoms, let's say mild or moderate symptoms, and it's really not limiting their current lifestyle, they're able to do stuff around the house when they're social distancing themselves and staying at home, then I would recommend waiting several weeks until this pandemic is over before having an in-person appointment. However, if the symptoms are very severe and perhaps they can't even go from room to room in their house without experiencing leg pain, they can't walk 10 to 20 yards, or potentially if they already have active fault wounds or ulcers that aren't healing, then I would say perhaps getting an appointment sooner rather than later and not waiting several more weeks is recommended.
One bonus question, Dr. Eisen, we'll get you right out of here on time. If somebody hears from you, you have PAD, what should they think when they hear that news? How would you want them to process that?
I would want them to say, hey, this is something that I need to pay attention to, that I might need to make a few changes with what I'm doing right now or focus on how I can reduce the risk that this is going to progress. But otherwise, it may not really affect their lifestyle on a day-to-day basis, or perhaps with treatment, they can go back to their normal lifestyle and doing the things that they want to do without really having to worry about it on a day-to-day basis.
You're absolutely fantastic. I knew you'd be great on air as well. Dr. Daniel Eisen has been our guest. It's Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and typically on the first Thursday of every month in the 904 to 935 segment is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. We moved it this month, and we appreciate Deborah also moving it. And thank you, doctor, because for quite a while now, you were expecting 904. And thank you for making it so that I could do this with you and that we could also present Governor Murphy right before you. Thank you for that, doctor.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Harry.
You're welcome, sir. I usually say goodbye off air, but I'm still on for about another 4 minutes. So until we meet again, Dr. Eisen, be well, be safe, be healthy, and thanks for all you do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Daniel Eisen,